time for the Cougar Cuties.
No, it's not time for the Cougar Cuties. It's time for the Entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, where middle-aged guys talk Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective. From the class of 1994, I'm the host with the jokes, Dobber. And from the class of 1998, he's the analyst with the attention to details, and my little brother, Sammy D. And I got your mic on. I don't hear you, though.
You got to sell it, Dobber. I love the arm up, and you're just selling the Sammy D. I love it.
Yeah.
Taking the advice from our number 45 fan, who shall be named nameless. But, yes, love being here, especially after this week. The great win at LaSalle to finish off the season going into Brooklyn. Love the drop by the BC boys. Oh, my gosh.
Hold on.
All the road dogs. Yeah. Play the music.
Where my dogs at?
Get a Philly steak at Pat's and Geno's.
We right here, dog. Now where my dogs at?
Did you go cheese whiz on the cheese steak or provolone? Let's hear it, Dobber.
The last time I was in Philly, I went. I went provolone, and it's. And I'm not hating on cheese whiz.
No, nor am I.
I totally could see where you'd want maybe go cheese whiz at different points, but for me, I think I'm kind of a provolone guy, and so yeah, that's what I had.
I went the last time I was in Philly. Went with my buddy Dave Falcone to a place called Donkey's, and it was the best.
Well, I actually went to a place I think called Carmen's in Reading Market. Carmen's.
And we walked by that place.
And I went for lunch one day and enjoyed it. And the next morning, my hotel was across the street. So I would go eat both meals at Ready Market. I went and I had breakfast at like the Amish place. I don't think they're Amish, but whatever.
Probably more. What's the other one? It's not Amish. It's the other one. It's Mennonite.
There you go. Yeah. I went to the Mennonite breakfast place, and it's me and another guy at 7 a.m. in the morning.
Yep.
Eating there, being served by Mennonite women with bonnets on.
Yep.
And it turned out to be the owner of the cheesesteak place. So we talked for about a half an hour about Philly and Chicago and how we're both sort of second cities how we both don't like New York, and and actually had a great conversation with him. And it's funny because later I went, I was flying out of Philly, and I had a similar conversation with a bartender. He was telling us about the first Eagles Super Bowl a couple years ago. Do you remember when they won? And he was saying, you know, he thought the Bears maybe could kind of follow the footsteps of the Eagles. So
agreed.
Anyway, So Philly, definitely I like the provolone. So where were we?
Well, hopefully the guys, after the big road W, the road dogs, they went out for a great Philly steak.
That's what they said in the post game. They were going to go get cheesesteaks, I guess.
Yeah.
They stayed that night in Philly, so I assume they got some good food.
I would hope so. Hopefully they went to the Ready Market. That'd be a good call on their part.
I don't think, is LaSalle near Ready Market? I don't think it's near Ready Market.
I think they could probably, it's not that far.
Ready Market, I don't think you'd take a whole basketball team to.
I would. I'd take the bus there, and then everybody could get their own what they want.
There's not a great place to put like 15 people eating at a place like that.
Yeah, but it's one of those places that you could go and everyone could kind of go to their own place.
True.
And I think that would be ideal. As a youth pastor of dealing with a group of 30, that's where I would go.
I will say one time I was at Reading Market at the same conference, and they rented it out at night. And it was a private party with bars. And then they had little foods. Some of the booths were open for little bites.
Ooh.
It was an amazing party. It was really great. Okay. All right. Enough about Philly.
That's our next podcast is food.
What I would love, and I don't know if Atlantic 10 does this, but I think it would just be so awesome if we played St. Joe's and LaSalle you know, a few days apart, so we could just go there for 3 or 4 days.
I don't think yes, I think that would be good if we did have the schedule of the Thursday, Sunday, or Wednesday, Saturday kind of thing. But because we do like Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Sunday, so it's like, I think that's where it could drop.
That would be nice.
I think that would be ideal.
That would be nice. I think a couple things I would love for scheduling in the future is I always think we should have a home and away with Dayton and with St. Louis. I don't know if they always do that, but I just think that makes so much sense. And we should play both of those teams on the weekend.
Yes.
We should not be playing, you know, Rhode Island on a weekend or one of these teams that's not going to come to Chicago. I think that Friday or Saturday for those St. Louis-Dayton matchups. And I'm just saying, don't give us special treatment. I'm just saying, like, think about, you know, selling tickets and audiences and people traveling. I think it makes the most sense.
Agreed. And I think moving forward, because of geographic, from what I heard from the A-10 going into this season, I think Dayton and St. Louis and Loyola are the three that, you know, because they're going to definitely play home and away with all three of those teams.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense for sure. So let's talk about that Rhode Island game.
You were there. Sights and sounds. Give us
sights and sounds. Okay, here's a pro tip for Rambler Nation. So we've lamented all season about the lack of options for food and drinks before games, and of course, just like designed, or just like almost every game of the season, the George Ireland pub was closed for a special event again. I know. So it's just like, whatever. What was the Rhode Island Alumni Association of Chicago meeting there? Like, what could happen on the last game of the season that you'd close that place? So annoying.
I'd be curious to know who was there.
I don't know. I didn't bother. You have to walk. Not that I'm lazy. I would have had to walk down the stairs to poke my head down. Yeah. So, okay. And then this was also tragic. We have been kind of going to the Candlelight on Western Avenue before games.
Yes.
Because it's geographically on the way. And you just have a nice meal at Candlelight, and then you just drive straight to Gentile Park and go to the seats.
Right.
The Candlelight was closed for remodeling. They're redoing some work. And so we were really struggling to figure it out. And we had a backup. We decided to try Moody's Pub on Broadway.
Yes.
The old Moody.
Down by Thorndale. Yeah, yes.
The old Moody's. And sure enough, we get there and it's like going back in time. I kid you not. Now, we've been going since we were young.
Since the 80s.
I went after my prom in a tuxedo to Moody's and sat out in the patio. So
it's that kind of classy joint.
Yes. So, we get a seat right away, of course, you know, one of the, where do you want to sit, guys? There were like 10 booths for us to sit in. So we got a seat right away. They don't have the peanuts anymore. Could just get a
bowl of peanuts
and just throw them on the floor.
Yeah, I think the health department.
They got rid of that. They got rid of that. But then Roseanne, I think that's her name. Roseanne was the waitress. Now she's been there like 30 years. I remember being on dates in the 90s there, and she was there. So. Pretty epic. And of course it all tasted great. Now
the fries on point,
the
potatoes just slopped right into the fryer.
Yeah. Yes. The onion rings. I didn't get the salad. They have added, and expanded their craft beer menu. They used to only have Michelob
and Schlitz.
So they got rid of that. They still have a couple of those things, but they upped. And so it actually kind of is really easy once you leave Moody to get right into the stadium. You can actually even cut over to Sheridan and come in from the east, which makes it sort of easier to come turn into to Rambler, whatever the street is, Kenmore.
Which brings me to my point of saying that today's episode is sponsored by Moody's Pub on South Broadway by Thorndale.
boy, if they sponsored us and it involved, you know, trading food for plugs, I would be, 400 pounds. Because it was such a great burger. And man, it really felt good rolling into the Gentile after that. So I think.
That's the new pregame spot.
I think it's the pregame spot. There's a bar there, Rambler fans.
Yes.
It's even closer than Candlelight, so it's even more of a natural Loyola spot. So I think that might be a pregame meetup. That might be, I know everyone loves Bruno's, but come on, if you haven't had dinner and you're going to
that's the drawback to Bruno's is there's no food.
And you're going to an 8 o'clock game. I mean, come on, it makes sense, right?
Yes.
So I think Moody's Pub is the way to go before games now. And the parking situation was a little sketchy. They sold part of their parking lot to a bank, and I can't tell whether you park, if you can park in the bank parking lot. I can't even tell. So we kind of crossed our fingers that it was okay.
Well, you're here today, so it means your car didn't get towed. So,
and then we went into the stadium, went with Uncle Jeffy, and...
that's why we lost. Now I know. Okay, thanks a lot, Jeff.
Yeah, 0-5 Jeffy. Now, in Jeffy's defense, I mean...
They did not lose because of Jeff.
Well, no, just in Jeffy's defense, we did go, 10-20 this year, so...
Yes.
So it's like I only saw a couple wins in person. We went with Uncle Jeffy. I'm trying to think if there's anything interesting that happened. They were giving away stickers at the game. I got one pack of stickers. I got the last pack of stickers. Nice. I don't know who was giving them away.
And in the previous women's game, they gave away hats.
Right.
A lot of students were wearing the hats, as I saw.
Yeah, and I was bummed out. My plans fell through for that St. Louis game. And I was kind of just laying around on Saturday. And I realized at 12:55, there was a women's game at 1. And I was so bummed out. If I just would have remembered an hour earlier, I could have gone over to that game.
Right.
Because I do feel bad that I haven't seen a women's game yet this year, or didn't see one.
Yes.
I'm going to correct that next year because I'm kind of interested in this. Have you followed the women at all? Have you kind of read anything about them?
I know a little bit about them. I'm with you. I have no excuses, but yes, I do know that their coach comes from Yale, has a background in the A-10, and they, like the Ramblers this year, struggled from the men's side. They struggled, but, they're moving in the right direction. So,
And then there's this, freshman point guard. Do you know her name? Chivers is her last name, or Chivers? I don't... Okay, whatever.
Go for it.
I'm just curious about this team, and I do. I'm not one of these people who doesn't like women's basketball. I kind of like the women's game, so I would like to go to a couple games. I'm not going to be like Podcast 63 and get credentialed and do in-game tweeting.
Yes,
but. But
you would like to support them.
I would like to support them.
I was friends with a number of the girls on the basketball team when we were at Loyola, and it just kind of, And then, my next door neighbor here in Virginia, he's one of the head coaches of a high school team, one of the top teams in the state. And his granddaughter is also one of the top juniors in the state.
I heard a rumor, too, Jacob Hudson was dating one of the girls on the team too. So I haven't confirmed that. But I did hear that. So,
okay.
So anyway, I'm curious to see them play next year. I will remedy that, for sure. Get over one, some of those games. And I haven't been to the volleyball either. I got to be honest. I'm not as interested about volleyball, although it sounds like they're great.
They are great again this year. Yes. And they, and to their credit, they won the national title back to back years. So that's really impressive. But men's volleyball is not as an expanded of a field as all the other sports, but still a great feat.
All right. So back to the Rhode Island game. You know, it really was an unremarkable game in the sense that I'm really having trouble remembering much of the game. It was back and forth. I do remember my seatmate, the guy who sits next to me, Michael, who wears a Baltimore Orioles jacket to every game.
Yes.
He did lean into me at one point. He leans in and gives some really insightful commentary. And he's like, about 10 minutes in, he's like, there's no defense. What is this? The NBA... Is this the NBA All-Star game? And it was a little run and gun and not a lot of defense. So it did look, it was a very strange game as it started, that it just didn't seem characteristic to when we're playing at our best, at least on the defensive side. So that's the one thing I remember is it kind of was going back and forth and it didn't look like there was defense being played on either end of the court.
No, and what in looking back over just my notes, and I was just kind of dumbfounded as the Ramblers had a 17-point lead, you know, 4 or 5 minutes into the second half, and it just, is that right? No, I'm sorry.
No, that's not right.
No, I'm sorry. Rhode Island had a, yeah, Rhode Island.
Yeah, Rhode Island had one, yeah.
Yeah, Rhode Island had a 17-point. I don't know what it was. Like,
yeah.
At this completely wrong. And then the Ramblers, you know, began to kind of chip away and come back. And it was just still just remarkable about how they, you know, came back. But it was just the reality of it really shouldn't have been that close. It was that close the entire game. And I think this is the thing that really just told the tale was – both teams had 27 field goals. Both teams had 7 3-pointers. And the only difference was they made 18 free throws and we made 16. And the final score, they won by 2.
Yeah, it was more, I think it was a case of, you have the stuff in front of me, but as I remember, I felt like we were behind a little bit in the first half and then had one of those poor endings to the half.
Yeah.
That kind of trickled in to the second part, to the second half. So it's like we were kind of it was kind of going back and forth and it kind of felt really close. And then we kind of ended the half poorly and started the half poorly, the second half. So that's what I remember because, yeah, there was this point where we were down by 17, and it never felt like it was that big of a difference from what I saw in the court. Like, it just felt like, a little unbalanced.
Yeah, basically in the final 5 minutes of the game, of the first half, the Ramblers scored 7 points.
Wait, say that again?
In the final 5 minutes of the first half, at the 5:50 mark of the first half, left in the first half, the Ramblers scored a dunk on Jameer Wilson's dunk to make them go down by 4. So 35-31. And they ended the half at 44-37. So they scored another 9. We only scored 6 points. And it just was like that end of the half where could have been traction where because they didn't score that much either. But, you know, there's just a lot of miss, you know, miss free throw. So it was just kind of one of those games where you're like, man, you know, make a bucket here or there. This game is not close.
Yeah. And just looking at the stats in this game, Alston and Schweiger looked not themselves. It didn't feel like there was this huge defense or anything. I mean, it didn't feel like it made sense that they didn't score very much. I mean, Schweiger had three. Austin had six.
But he only took three shots. He took three three-pointers, which we've come to see him play. It was like, yeah, he may take his three three-pointers, but then he'll drive in for three more, and he didn't have any of those. So I don't know. I didn't see anything that showed me that Rhode Island played that great a defense to deny him that. But, you know, he normally takes a few others where it's, you know, a runner or in the lane, and he didn't take any of those shots.
Yeah, and I mean, that Rhode Island team did not seem very tall. I mean, they had four guards who started, and right. Maybe there was one big guy on that team who came in, like, off the bench, but it felt like, it didn't feel like a team that should be dominating us or beating us. It felt like a team.
To Chiku.
It felt like a team we could have easily put away.
Right.
And the home crowd was really into it. The Wolfpack was fuller than it was the week before. So it was just kind of one of those question mark games where you're like, how do they not, you know, win this game?
Yeah, and then this is a game where you think, oh, hey, the bench, you know, we get 43 points from the bench. So it's like, oh, that's what a great, you know, turnout. You know, Sheldon, Marquise, even Jamerrill and Tom, it's like great, but great output from them. So this, oh, we won away, but no, Phil and Schweiger had 9 points combined, and it's just like, wait, what? And you know, so yeah, kind of scratching your head game.
Yeah, it's one of these games where you'd think if we could get the average out of Alston and Schweiger, we win by 10, 15.
Right.
Alston is 15 a game, right? That's his average, I think.
In conference, yeah.
Off the top of my head. So, yeah, he had six, so that's 11.
Yeah.
Schweiger has to be at least around 10. He had three.
Right.
That's 18 points that we're missing.
Right. Yeah, it's just, and I think the thing that I find kind of interesting is they only took eight shots between the two of them, which in games previous to this, you know, Schweiger's taken eight and Alston's taken 16. So, I mean, there's 24 shots between the two of them, and they only took a third of that.
Yeah. And so. not to jump ahead here, but I mean, it seemed like Coach Drew purposely called out Alston after this performance and didn't have him start the next game because of this. So there was a little bit of consequence here. So this was not the plan for this kind of output or this kind of performance that you know, Coach was not happy with this, with what he saw. So let's talk about a highlight though. Let's talk about the JB's giant play of the game. I know we had one.
I'm going to go with the Huddy where he just kind of like, you know, is around the rim and he just lays it in. Was that not the one you were talking about? Was that one you're thinking about?
Come on. What are you talking about?
Of course I'm talking about the Welch alley-oop dunk from Marquise, top of the key, sees our guy, you know, Major Tom, you know, Earth to Major Tom.
And ground control to Major Tom.
Ground control to Major Tom. And went off. Now, do you have it queued up, the music for it? I mean, because that would be, like, epic. Because I was a little disappointed the Ramblers didn't do that, but I figured they didn't want to.
What, ground control to Major Tom?
Yeah, they didn't
want to. That song's not really a
I didn't want to copyright, you know. But anyway. But then it becomes a SportsCenter top 10 number one play of the day. So exciting for Tom and Marquise and for the Ramblers, even in the consolation prize for this loss, but very exciting.
Yeah, it was exciting. And I think it was shout out to, I think, Podcast 63 or Talking Blurs. Sorry, guys. I can't remember which one it was.
I believe it was Podcast 63 that called it out and then Blurs followed it up.
Well, no, I was going to say Podcast 63 said that they were on SportsCenter.
Right.
But your boy, Two Ramblers Podcast, Dobber, had to go get the video.
Yes, he did.
Which was great because no one else had posted the video. So we posted the video, and everyone loved that. I mean, everyone
posted the actual video from the game feed, but you posted the video from the SportsCenter feed.
Right.
Which was quite epic, I have to admit.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool because it just is cool, right? And then someone called us out on Twitter for forgetting
Cooper Kafis's
three-quarter shot that I don't know if it made it to SportsCenter. It was a SportsCenter-nominated play. I don't know if it actually made it on to SportsCenter. Do you know if it did?
I tried to look it up, and I couldn't find it. I mean, I found the play,
right. but I posted the play.
When I got the call out,
right.
I could not find that if it had been a top 10, which I tend to think that it was. And because of, you know, it's very often, very rare, you see a three-quarter court shot. But the thing that I said, it's not quite this. I mean, yes, it's still an amazing shot. But that play in particular was a feat of athleticism that we don't see very often.
Yeah, and the Cooper Kafis play was amazing, and maybe it did make it to SportsCenter, but it was kind of when Loyola Ramblers Twitter was in its infancy. So
yes,
you know, there was not a Two Ramblers podcast, you know, churning out content. I mean, it's like, I feel like I was talking to, I posted something this week that I thought was really funny. The kid who's reacting to Tom Welch. Yes,
hitting his head.
He's hitting his head. So I just made that into a GIF because I think it's hilarious. And I'm going to use it again. Believe me. We're going to get some mileage out of this on the head, this Loyola kid just going nuts. He's got the backwards, you know, white.
So Sign Girl, if you know our backwards hat boy, you know.
No.
Bopping ahead, you know. Yeah, we want to give him credit.
Yeah, well, yeah, we could give him credit. But my point is I got this great GIF of this kid pounding his head, going nuts. And I posted it, got one like. This thing is like amazing. This GIF is great. One like.
It was good.
So a friend of mine texts me and he goes, Dobber, what's the deal? That thing was so funny. One like? Question mark. And I go, hey, what can I say? I'm creating Power 5 content for a low mid-major audience. I mean, that's the problem. And then he wrote back, you know, you are the Duke of Loyola Twitter. All pun intended.
Well played.
So yeah. And I don't want to brag, but a certain player on the Loyola team who was a part of that play asked for that video.
Yes, he did.
And I sent it to him. So how about that, guys?
Yes. How do you like them apples?
Yeah, how do you like them? What is it? Number 8? Is that his name? Is he 8?
Number 10.
Number 10. Okay, sorry. Number 10 wanted that one. Okay.
There is no number 8.
I don't know why I thought number 8. Number 10. Okay.
So number 10, you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem. And, hey, appreciated your play. Well, no, it was actually Tim Welch was playing in the LaSalle game. Great job by Tim Welch in the LaSalle game.
His lesser-known brother.
His lesser-known brother. All right, so we had a play of the game. Do we have a player of the game? I mean, are we going to just...
In a loss, I want to call out his name once again. Sheldon Edwards came off the bench. 5 of 13, he had 3 of 8, had some awesome threes, and then set up, I believe, the tying three that Norris hit to tie it at 77. And so, but it was just, I really, I mean, it's one of those efforts in these last few games where things may have not gone the way that he planned when he transferred into Loyola. But he stuck with it. He stuck with the team. And so I want to give him his props. Sheldon Edwards is my Matt Hawes Hammer player of the game for Heart and Hustle because he stuck with it this season and is now reaping the benefits. He's survived in order to thrive, and he is thriving in these last few games in particular. And it's just so exciting to see that maybe this is that linchpin moment where, you know, guys are seeing, hey, he can do it. And then the same thing happened in LaSalle game with Huddy as well, where it's just like guys are sticking with it. And it just speaks to the culture that we've talked so much about, where these guys believe and trust and they put the work in and they're beginning to see the fruits of that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we knew, I mean, I saw that Valpo game live at Gentile last year, right, where he had 20 plus. I want to say 20 plus. It was at least 20.
It was twice last year at Valpo and at right. Gentile, where he scored 20 plus.
Yeah.
I think it was 23.
Yeah. So, when we got him, I was like, oh my gosh, plug and play. I assumed he would be starting with Norris, like, especially when Marquise, you know, was hurt at the beginning of the year. I just assumed this is Norris's, you know, if Norris is Batman, this is Robin now or something. Maybe that's not the right, you know.
But I know what you mean.
Right. You know, the shake and bake. It's like Ricky Bobby and what's his buddy's name?
Cal. It's Cal. You're right. Yeah.
So I was like, you know, it's Ricky Bobby and Shell.
Cal. Ricky Bobby and Shell.
So, you know, that's what I thought. And then, you know, and then obviously something happened this year. Coach mentioned he's had a tough year. I mean, Sheldon was, you know, I think shouting out Jesus on Twitter at one point for kind of getting him through some stuff. So I don't know what happened this year. I don't know if it was injury or something else or whatever.
You know,
something?
Well, I think as I've been watching Twitter, it was like, why wasn't he playing all year? Why isn't he playing all year? It's like, because I really think, and this is evident of Valpo the last few years, is Valpo's not at the same level as Loyola. Yes, they played in the same conference, but you know they were not known as a defensive juggernaut, but Loyola has been. And I think, you know, as yes, he had some offensive games that, one, we all are readily recognize because they were against Loyola, but I think it was one of those things like, yes, he can score, but there's another half of the court that has to be played. And if he's going to be a negative, then he's not going to see the court. And that's always been, you know, Drew's MO the last few years, as well as going back into, you know, Moser. And so it's like, if you're not going to play defense, you're not going to see the court. And so I think it was one of those things like he has to learn how to do that, or, you know, almost learn how to do that within the, you know, the kind of the Loyola way. And it's to his credit that, yes, he stuck with it in order to do that. And so, yes, should he have been playing? I don't know, because I don't know how they practice. And I was always a coach, and when I was a player, that I practiced hard so I could play well. And when I coached, I was like, if you don't practice well, you're not going to see the court, you're not going to see the mat or the field. That's just not how it's going to happen. And you could be the best player, but you're not going to happen if you don't practice well. And maybe he did practice well, but just wasn't getting the concepts that were needed to play. And so, but now has. And so now we're seeing the benefits of that, you know. And if the Ramblers win five more, we're right back where everyone would want them to be from the beginning of the season, is right in the NCAA tournament.
Oh my gosh, here we go. Five in a row. Okay, let's just tap. Let's take him one at a time, Sam.
All right, let's jump over to LaSalle, and let's talk about the
Let's talk about that after the music. I'm going to take a break for a second.
Yes.
Uh, Sammy is doing what looks like a 50-year-old version of the gritty.
I'm trying not to lose my headset as I'm hit or hit
yeah.
the mics.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I think I had 14 out of 15 starts in the when I was in wrestling, and it's partly because there was no other heavyweights.
Yes,
I think I got beat out by the 185 guy in one of the last matches of the season. But I did start for I think 14 out of 15 matches. So. But I did practice hard, so I'm following you on that logic.
But Coach Prale was always ready to pencil you in because of your effort.
It's true. I did work hard. I definitely worked hard in that thing, that team. So what was I going to say? Okay, let's get into the trip to LaSalle.
Pow!
Pow! Okay, yeah, let's just start with these announcers and this the tripod, one of these tripod games. Now, you know, I'm not a big fan of A10 Twitter already. There's already people that I hate. It didn't take long. And by the way, I unfollowed everyone in the Valley. I could care less about the Valley. I know the Bathtub Blurs had on, you know, Tony Segretti or whatever from Bradley. Yes. I never need to talk to him, think about him, or watch a Bradley game again. I don't miss the Valley at all.
Which, by the way, Bradley's getting hammered in the final.
Oh, good. So. Wonderful. So my point is I don't care about them at all, but I've already started to just have a list of people I hate in the A10.
He's starting to keep receipts.
Yeah, folks. Starting to keep receipts. And but one of these A10 guys at the beginning of the season was complaining about the league, you know, and now that is I think some of these guys think 15 teams is too many teams. And,
right.
And then I think they in this particular tweet, they were talking about the disparity of having some of these teams that have, you know, kind of professional setups for filming games, and they have radio broadcasts, and they have all this stuff. And then there's other teams that seem to have a tripod and like a guy, you know, running student AV to broadcast these games. And so LaSalle, I think, is more on that lower end of,
yes.
I mean, there's a
glorified high school gym.
Sheldon has this great block, and I don't know if this is your play of the game, but he has this great steal where he you know, kind of jumps a passing lane, gets a hand on a ball, kind of passes it to himself, and then runs in for a dunk. It was an amazing play, one of the best plays Loyola's made this year. The only video I could see was this iPad video from the rafters. I can't even see his hand touch the ball. It looks like he's using some Harry Potter magic to grab the ball. Because I'm like,
the Quidditch ball.
Did his hand touch the ball? I cannot even make out whether it's like I see his hand moving and then I see the ball getting deflected, but I can't see his hand touch the ball because it's such a bad video.
That's why I really am just enamored with what Loyola did with the venue that we have, because Tom Gole Arena, same amount of attendance as the Gentile Arena, but you can't look at Gentile and think that's the same. It's the same as Tom Gole. I mean, Tom Gole was like, what am I looking at here?
Yeah. And well, they did have the cool neon sign that said LaSalle. Yes. Did you see that?
I did see that, but overall, it was just like, what is this? Whereas Loyola thought, hey, we're going to have an arena, and we're going to have cameras, and it's going to, you know, look like, hey, a much bigger arena, but yet only seat 4,000. Whereas Tom Gole, you know, just the two sides went up, and then you know, it was almost as if like, hey, how can we build something that, you know, can seat 4,000, but we only want to spend $10, and that's what they got.
Yeah. So then you got this horrible camera setup, and then, you know, you got these Homer LaSalle broadcasters who probably didn't watch one Loyola game all year. I don't think that they watched or prepped at all, based on how many times.
No.
Based on how many times they called Tom Welch Tim Welch, and then we're confusing Alston and Edwards throughout the game. Which,
like, every time down the court.
Which I thought, is this a microaggression? I mean, I know they're both African Americans and they kind of have the Ja Morant hair where they've got it kind of up on top, but I just was like, that's so weird that they keep making that mistake. And then I thought at one point, well, maybe they're up in the rafters with the iPad video, but you think they were on the court.
I'm almost positive they were on the court.
So no excuse for that. I mean, I get it that we're new to the league and this is the last game of the season, so you probably never saw us play all year. You know, they didn't have a game with us earlier in the year.
Right.
So it just was a little weird. And there was a point too where the, you know, so you got your main guy, your play-by-play, and then the color guy. There was one point where the color guy called Philip Alston a completely different name, but I couldn't figure out where it was. I really need to watch these games and mark down time, because he called Phil Alston a completely different name.
Yes.
Like, it was like he called him like Philip Walton or something. I mean, it was so wrong, whatever it was. I knew what he meant, but it was like so bad. I'm like, how does he do
it? It honestly, the more I watch, okay, so I watched it late at night after, you know, Julie had gone to bed. And so I'm like, you know, trying to keep my eyes open. So being careful how I fast forward through the timeout so I don't fall asleep. And as I kept, every once in a while I would be watching it and my eyes would close, I kept hearing Harry Carey, you know, as he would just make up crap and no one would correct him because he's Harry Carey. I thought it was the same guy with this color analyst guy. We're just like, just let him go. You know, no one's watching this anyway.
Good. I mean, I do think that's right. No one really corrected him, but I do good. Okay. Shout out to whoever the play-by-play was, because he actually corrected himself at one point. He goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I said Edwards. It was Alston or whatever." He corrected himself. So he kind of caught himself. But the other guy, was like,
"No. He did not care.
That Walton kid is pretty good."
Pow.
Yeah, then that guy, pow. By the way, that's what I forgot to do. I wanted to have a pow sample for this podcast. I totally forgot. So we'll have to do that some other time.
We'll do that for the next podcast.
Okay. One other comment about the broadcast, which was hilarious, was even though they had potentially, maybe with Duquesne, probably the worst broadcast I saw all season. This is the crazy thing, like a one camera shoot of this game, but yet they had a sideline reporter. LaSalle great Rich Tarr. And Rich Tarr, I can't, wait, let me see if I hold on a second. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I
but now he needs to, because he's got an extra mic. He might as well use it.
Okay. Hang on a second.
I think honestly, I feel like next year there needs to be the sideline reporter of Dauber as Lou the Dark Lord.
Oh, here we go.
Wolfpack Jimmy.
Okay, let's hold on. Let's go to Rich Tarr on the sideline. Rich Tarr, this is my impression of Rich Tarr. Hold on here.
I was in the timeout with Coach Dumfries, and he said that they have to do better at covering Sheldon Edwards. Back to you guys.
Rich, anything else that did Coach say during the timeout?
He said Phil Alston is pretty good, too. I think you guys referred to him as Phil Walton. He's not the guy. He's not Sheldon Edwards. He's the other guy. Yeah, he was really good. Now back to you guys.
Rich, thanks so much. Great work today.
I mean, that was the worst. I mean, the guy looks.
The best is he had like an A10, like, you know, microphone, you know, thingy or whatever it's called. I don't know what those things are called, but I'm like, oh my gosh. If I was an A10, I was like, do not put that on your pocket.
He looked like a guy who was reading a statement in a hostage video. You know, he.
The 70s, Lebanese are this. What was it, the Lebanese army or whatever? It's like, I have not been hurt. I don't, whatever, I can't do the bit.
We get your joke. Yes,
I couldn't remember like, it, right? Like he looked like he was in a hostage video.
Oh my gosh.
And so I took a screenshot of him and I tried to troll the Gola standard, you know, the,
hey, they liked it.
Well, but I don't think they got the joke. I was kind of making fun of him. Cause it just was so awkward. And I just thought, what a weird broadcast. Like they have a really crappy camera. Then they go to a sideline reporter. And as far as I could tell, they didn't have another camera. Where they, you know, they weren't intersplicing, you know, floor camera shots and stuff. So it was very odd. What a odd game. I mean, I think Harvard had a really similar.
And that's, I honestly was, it's kind of infuriating because it's like, they're not in a like podunk Iowa. They're in Philadelphia for crying out loud. You can't tell me that, you know, NBC Sports Philadelphia doesn't have a couple extra cameras to give LaSalle.
I don't get it. I mean, and even at the Gentile Arena now, you know, just the in-game video is at a better level than, you know, like when they just show, I mean, you don't see this on TV, but when you see the Wolfpack in stadium dancing to things like the cheesy dance cam, the video.
Yeah, that's all Austin and his team.
Yeah, the
Austin
video.
Austin Hansen and his team, yeah.
Well, the video work is all live and stuff it's great video, and these cameras they run around with that are connected into the system are like these little handheld cameras. They're not like those big video cameras.
They're not big shoulder things. They're like handheld. I mean, they're 1080p, but you know, handheld things. Yeah,
I gotta think you could buy a couple of those and buy a little thing to mix the video for these games. I mean. It can't be that expensive.
Evidently for LaSalle it is. I mean, from what I heard from A10 Twitter is that they're trying to build a new arena, so maybe all the funds are going towards that. You know, going towards the building fund.
Well, let's get into the game. I mean,
please, let's do.
Let's why can't I think of, is it the Sibonese Liberation Army? Wasn't that the people that kidnapped Patty Hearst?
That sounds right.
Can you look that up?
Just, wow.
Can you look? Because I was going to do the...
Our millennial Democrat was just going like, what?
Well, I wanted to do the Rich Tar bit, and then I botched the I couldn't remember how to pronounce Sibonese, I think is what it was. That's the kind of quality you're only going to get on the Two Ramblers podcast. You're not getting that from the Dayton Flyer podcast.
You're only getting this from the number one podcast in the A10. Sibonese Liberation Army. Yes,
and they kidnapped Patty Hearst, right? And
1974.
She became like one of them. Like she was like Stockholm syndrome. Her captor.
Exactly.
She became like one with her captors. So yeah, that's a very high level bit for everyone else. I was trying to do it. I blew it. I didn't prep.
So, I don't even think the people we graduated with got that.
Well, I'm kind of an old soul. I'm older than you. I'm 5 years older than you. And
yes.
As our parents said, I was born at 20. So so when was that? Was that 74?
1974.
Yeah, so I was 24 at the time.
All right, so LaSalle.
I was drinking coffee and reading the Knoxville Sentinel at that time.
Uh, What a great win. Drew talked about this in the post game, but shook up the starting lineup by inserting Sheldon in and Jamerrill in instead of Phil and Jalen. And so I like it when a coach sends messages in a way that was like, hey, starting lineup, because even if you go back even a few years, that starting is for high school, is what Moser said. And, in reference to Tate Hall. And I think that's so true. It's like, yes, starting is for high school, but it's like, who finished the game? And, you know, Phil was in the game. Jalen had good minutes. Marquise had a good run. Tim Walsh had good minutes. It really was, this was a hard fought game. They sprinted out to a good lead and then kind of held on in the second half, much to the, similarities to the UMass game. But to LaSalle's credit, they shot 70% from three in the second half. So I don't care who you are. You could play great defense and you could barely hang on if the team is hitting 7 out of 10 from three in the second half. So, but Loyola hung on. The things that really stuck out to me was the fact that, you know, they took Ramblers were 11 of 13 from free throws. One of the first games I've seen in a long time where they were 85%, almost 85% from free throws, and the opposing team was 7 of 10. So, we made more than they shot when it comes to free throws. And, you know, that's one of the differences. That was the difference of the game right there.
Yeah. And I think this is a perfect example of a road dog game. I mean, yes. Yeah, you don't like to see them, you know, give that many shots away in the second half, those that many three pointers. You don't like to see us, you know, have a 13-point lead with 5 minutes to go and then have it come down like the last possession. You hang on. You hang on sometimes in these games.
Yeah, you win. It road games, you win as any way you can. But, I mean, to LaSalle's credit, I mean, again, if somebody's hitting a 30-foot three-point shot, God bless you. You know, more power to you. I want you to take that shot because 9 times out of 10, you're going to miss it. And they just happened to hit a couple of those where it's like, there's no way they should be making these. And yet they were. And they were not wide open. They were contested. But still, it's like 30 feet. I don't want someone closing out 30 feet from the basket. And they made them. But, and so, more power to them.
And there was only two lead changes in the game. Is that right? Did we give up the lead at any point after the 17-minute mark in the first half? Is that possible?
I was just looking at it. I don't think we did in the second half.
I think they got to within three, right? Or they got to within two?
They got to within two. It's 75-73. But no, in the second half they never got the lead. So yeah, I mean they got the 17 minute mark. They had a 1 point lead, and then I'm not seeing there was two lead changes. But oh yeah, that would be two because then they took the lead, we took the lead right back. So yeah, they had the lead for one minute.
Well, I love that. I love us hanging on to a lead. That's something that you would see us do regularly in seasons past.
Yes.
Where not every game. I mean, there are going to be these games where we have to shoot our way back into it. I'm thinking about the Bradley game or the Valpo game last year where we went into overtime. Right. I mean, there's going to be those games. But I feel like one of the signatures in the last few years is having games where we get up to a lead and we just do what we need to do, and we just keep the
coast,
lead.
Right?
Yeah. Well, not coast, but you know.
I mean, but put it in cruise control and just like
and okay, put it. Yeah, put another team away, and so it was cool to see us just hang on that lead. It was a little disturbing, though. I was actually cooking in the second half. We had a 10 or 12 point lead. And I kind of thought we're good. And I'm making chili. We had a party last night and I was making chili for the party. And I was kind of making a, what is it called? Why am I forgetting the name of this now?
I don't know. A chicken chili?
No, I was making a, I was making a pork chili. I can't remember what it was. Okay. I'll skip that. But what happened is I, you know, went over to cook something for a second and then I came back and all of a sudden it's like a one possession game. I'm like, guys, it was at the 5 minute mark. It was like 12 points up and now it's like one possession game.
Yeah. We at 3 minutes, we were up by 10.
Yeah.
And even with 2.5 minutes, we're up by 9. And so they still got it down within 2. So yeah. But it's because literally every shot they made at going down the stretch was a 3-pointer.
Okay, I remember what it was. I had made a sofrito. I took a whole bunch of like tomatillos and some peppers and stuff, mixed them up in this thing with onion and in the Cuisinart, and then I was sort of lightly simmering it to kind of cook it a little bit before I added the chili stuff. And so anyway, that was what it was. While I was cooking the sofrito, the LaSalle got like 3 3-pointers or something. So
yes.
All right, I'm getting a time signal from you. So that means we need to wrap it up.
Well, I wanted to call out the hammer player of the game. Drew called him out by not starting him in this game, and Phil Alston or Philip Walden or on Walden Pond, you know, came out with a vengeance and scored 19 in his 32 minutes and was 8-16. And it was just awesome. And then follow that, like outside looking in was Huddy in his minutes and played awesome. 4 or 5 from the field, 9 points for him. And was just excited to see him play really well for all of those that were saying, why isn't he playing? Why isn't he playing? Well, he just waited for his moments and he made them pay today.
Yeah, no, definitely. No disagreement. Any plays of the game?
I had one, or actually I had two that came to mind. One was Phil early in the game skied for an offensive rebound, and Drew actually called out in the post game, was like, oh my gosh, he almost hit his head on the rim. But then brings it down, and then the and one was just awesome to see for that layup. And then the other one that I thought, it, in light of the game against Rhode Island where he gets the Sports Center's top 10 number one play, he should have gotten called for this one, but Norris pitches the ball to Welch, and somehow it just got deflected, and Welch just kind of taps it, and it had no business going in, but it did, and it scored, and you know, everyone, like, as if that's how they drew it up in the huddle. And so was the other one, was the layup by Welch.
Well, I don't know if you heard this, but Tim Welch was actually a striker on the Naperville volleyball team. So that was, he was actually doing a, or no, I'm sorry, he was the setter. He was the setter. And so Tim Welch just used his volleyball skills in that game, or in that spot. Well, and I'm going to call out, I mean, I already called out this play, but Sheldon jumping a passing lane,
yes,
and then, you know, kind of essentially deflecting it to himself. Sheldon, if you don't know, in the pregame is kind of the designated dunker when they're hyping up the team. You know, they all stand around. You've probably seen this on, you know, on YouTube or whatever. But guys, you know, the team will kind of stand around and he'll do some crazy dunk where he throws it off the backboard and the whole team jumps when he dunks at the same time. It's kind of a fun
thing. Yes, it is quite awesome.
Sheldon is that guy. He did it before the Rhode Island game, actually. He threw the ball off the backboard and dunked as the team was getting warmed up. So I was looking for that kind of thing on that dunk, and he just did kind of a very vanilla dunk. But I did love that play. And it was at a crucial time. It was about one of those times when we were up by 3. And so it kind of, you know, it stopped some bleeding and put 5 back up on the differential. So,
Yeah, there were a number of instances where they would trim it down, and then Loyola would get a bucket or two and then push it back out and just kind of like almost like the older brother, you know, putting the hand on the head kind of thing. You know, they just never got quite close enough. So,
all right.
Great to see just a road win going into the tournament. And so I thought it would be good, Dauber, to close out this episode with kind of end of the season, some questions, and just kind of get your thoughts on a couple of things. Number one, you know, we asked this at the beginning of the season, but now we've played a full season. Does Loyola belong in the A-10?
Well, I absolutely think they belong in the A-10. For a couple of reasons. Obviously, being 15 is tough, right? But I looked at our record, and let's say we win a couple of these close games. Let's say we play our average in a couple of these games. With this team this year, I see us like 8-10 in conference, and that would put us right in the middle of the pack.
Right.
Is that right? 8-10? I think I was looking at it earlier, but I put us at, you know, we should have probably had about 8 wins with our talent. But there was a lot of adjustment, new guys on our team. So were we at the top of this league? No. Could we beat anybody in this league? I think this league has proven anyone in this league can beat anyone else.
Yeah.
So no, I felt like we were talent wise and kind of do we belong? I feel like we're middle of the pack. Now our record is lower. So let's say that, you know, it was a learning curve. But I would not expect us to be at the bottom next year. Learning what we're learning about these venues, seeing these teams, I don't expect that to be at the bottom again. I would be shocked. The second thing is we definitely deserve to be there in terms of our reputation. I mean, name another team as recognizable as us in this league outside of maybe Dayton Flyers. There's a couple of these other guys that have some names, but it's kind of hard to figure out who they're about. I mean, at St. Joe's, people know the Hawk.
Right.
Davidson, people know Stephen Curry went there. And there's a couple of these other teams that, you know, oh, yeah, I remember they had a run. LaSalle had a run. Or yeah, I think Mason.
Richmond, yeah, George Mason.
It's like, but there's no team that stands out, I don't think, in a national level. So from a reputation level, I think we help them. I think it's good for us to be in this league. One other thing I think is like a really great thing is these other Jesuit teams. We look like them. We're in a big city like them.
Right.
It's a very good fit. And, you know, the Dayton Flyer guy has been the podcaster has been the most sort of anti-Loyola. And it's like, I think we might fit in this league better than the Dayton Flyers do. Based on the way that we have these other Jesuit teams that don't have football teams. You know, they're in these big cities. I don't know. Like, I think we fit very well with this thing. And if we can recruit with the right guys and get used to this, you know, get used to this style of play, I think it's a great, great fit long term.
Yeah, I agree. I think, yes, there are growing pains at moving in. And I think it was naive of Rambler Nation to think we were just going to roll in and be a top four. But to your question earlier, had we won 8 games, we would have been up along the same lines as Davidson, St. Bonaventure, and St. Joe's had all had 8 wins in the conference. And so just the topsy-turvy thing of this league, George Washington had 10 wins, Duquesne had 10, George Mason had 11. You know, those are, and Fordham had 12 wins. Those were all bottom of the league last year, are now in the top half of the league. And so I think you're right. I think starting next year, I think you see us more middle of the pack, you know, 5-6, if not higher, and, you know, just moving up because it's like, hey, now we know how to play and now how to play together. I think, again, we underestimate the loss of all that left last year. and what it takes to bring guys, all those guys, in to playing major minutes this year. And I thought everyone, it seemed like everybody thought, oh, this is just no brainer. Just that's how this goes. And it's like, that's not how it goes. This is tougher than it looks. And so, you know, I think this is a learning curve for moving forward. But going into next year, we will not be moving into a new conference and playing teams we don't know. So it's like now we have, you know, knowledge of what we're our opponents. And so moving forward, I think that's always speaks well.
One other thing I'll point out about that is there was something on Twitter I just saw about, you know, kind of ranking the student sections of the different schools.
Yeah.
And they had us at 4. They had us behind Dayton, which I totally were behind Dayton, and we're behind Davidson and behind VCU.
Right.
But they had us above a lot of these other schools, and I could totally see that with LaSalle, Duquesne, a couple of these other teams, you know, where it's like Richmond, where I was like, man, it's going to be tough when we're on a roll. It's going to be tough walking into the Gentile and just stealing a win. Like, I think it's going to be harder and harder for these teams. And I think I think next year, if we get back to kind of playing the way we play and the way we play at home, it's going to be a painful road trip for a lot of teams.
All right. Next question. It's been blowing up Twitter lately, but the Drew to be fired kind of thread. What's your thoughts on that? You know, I personally think you're literally, this is the wrong question. And so, but we'd love to get your thoughts as, you know, Dobber, you know, how do we fix Loyola? What do you think about the Drew
talk? I mean, I just think it is really, really premature to bag on Drew. I just think it's his second year. He's still kind of finding his own. He's putting together new pieces that didn't play together before. He's lost historically great players.
Right.
You know, I was just looking at Krutwig. You know, they keep, you know, Loyola Twitter loves to post, you know, 2018 highlights and 2021. Is it 2021? When did we do that Sweet 16?
21.
But you see him and you're just like, wow, that guy was a once in a generational player for us.
Right. And in reality, and also so was Lucas.
That was going to be my next breath. So you got two players that are once in a generation players. There's going to be a drop off, especially when you're playing freshmen and guys who just got here. You're not going to have the same level of consistency and the level of play. I mean, those are great players. So that right there alone, and don't give me this, oh, Porter's guys, this Drew's guy. Come on. It doesn't have anything to do with Porter. Porter found those guys, sure. But
who recruited him? Drew.
Probably Drew. But the cool thing is I don't think that that's the, you know, I don't think that that's the only metric that we're going to measure this guy by. Right. And I just want to see where we go with this. And the fact that we came into a new division, new players, I just think it's way premature. And the fact that we've won some of these games, and it looks like there's things that are happening where you're like, you can see what's the possibility.
Right.
I mean, we saw different games this year where guys stepped up. I mean, Sheldon in this game against LaSalle, why would you think that that couldn't happen next year?
Exactly.
If, you know, Braden's coming back, why wouldn't you think Braden could start shooting at his historic shooting percentage? Why would you think that Jalen and Jaden aren't going to be better next year? Or Ben Schweiger? Or right. Phil Alston? I mean, I feel like everyone is going to be better next year. So why would you think this would be the time to pull the plug? And then this is the last thing is this. If not Drew, who? And you can trademark that, like, survive to thrive. If not Drew, who? We are a mid-major program, and I might even say we're a low mid-major in the sense that we're, it's not like this is a premier destination for people to come. This is still, you know,
we're still in our infancy.
This is not like Gonzaga. If, you know, if Mark Few left Gonzaga, that would be a destination for someone.
Right.
Loyola is not Gonzaga. Loyola is not Georgetown, you know, or one of these Jesuit schools at in a bigger league.
Right.
Marquette.
Yeah. I mean, because if let's say Drew leaves, there's going to be some retread guy that comes in. I don't know anybody else out there that's like, that's who I want to coach. Where it's like, I think Drew has earned the right to have some leash, but also it's like, hey, let's see where this thing goes. Because I think, yes, this is a growing pain year, and we haven't had one of these years in a while, but let's, I say, let's recheck in 3 years, and then if at that juncture it's still struggling, then that's when we make the call, but not now.
I think he's sold on the culture here. I think in his DNA is coaching. He's got a dad who's a coach. His brother's a pro player. This guy is all basketball. He's good at recruiting. Right. He connects with the athletes. We're in this NIL era now. So it's like we're going to have kids coming out of the portal. We're going to have different things happening. I think this is the kind of guy you want moving forward. You don't want an old curmudgeon guy.
Right.
And again, I don't think the Atlantic 10, we're not in a Power 5 conference. So when I see these other coaches in the Atlantic 10, I go, some of these guys are good, but I don't think like, oh, that guy is unbelievable. We can't beat him. I mean, right. There's no Coach K's in this league. So I think Drew is a perfect fit for us. He's all in on the culture. Why would we pull the plug now?
Last thing, Dahmer. And this is, you have been killing it on Twitter lately, and knowing your brand as the Two Ramblers pod main content source. But just, would you just speak to, you know, the joke that we've had is the burner for your burner. And just like, we need to know our brand. And so I just love you just to kind of close us out on know your brand.
Well, I want to call out a guy who's really an all-star with content, mid-major danger. He inspired me with his clever memes. But I've noticed lately he's been getting into long threads, like discussing the very thing, like whether we should get rid of Drew or not. And I'm kind of like, keep up with the savage memes. Like,
yes.
Like I get bummed out when I see you kind of lamenting our losing streak, or problems with our coaching, or why isn't this guy starting? Maybe you need a burner for your burner. That was kind of my idea. Like maybe you could have sad mid-major danger. And then the other guy who sometimes gets into these threads is, what was his name? He, for years, it was the Braden Norris
Stan account. Well, now it's like loyal is my
depression and my whatever. Yes. It's like, come on. It's like
swan a lot of ding dong.
So it's like, come on, guys. Like keep it fun, man. And like we really need to not, you know what happens on a losing team? You start looking around and blaming one another.
Right.
Okay. What we need to do as a collective Twitter nation, we can do a little of that, right? That's fine. It always happens. But we have to really start making enemies out of these other teams. We got to start ripping on these other teams. We have to up our game in terms of really getting some rivals in this Atlantic 10. Because if we all turn on one another, that's not funny. So turn your anger and your internal angst into quality savage memes that make fun of St. Louis and Dayton.
Exactly. All right.
Let's and that's been Dubber's Take, sponsored by Moody's Pub. Get a black and blue burger on the way to the Gentile Center.
The next home game at the Gentile Arena. on North Broadway in Thorndale. Hey, A-10 tournament starts on Tuesday. Ramblers start tip at 2 p.m. on ESPN Plus against St. Joe's. They're in the same bracket as George Washington and Dayton.
Wait, so, we're on the app? We're not on regular TV?
On the first, this is how the A-10 dropped it, is ESPN Plus. So they may be on a local, NBC Chicago, whatever. I don't know. But as I see it right now, it's on ESPN Plus. Yes. And then the next game is then when they win and beat St. Joe's and go up against George Washington, they'll be on USA Network for those preceding games. And so, starts on Tuesday. And so hopefully we get to go all the way to Sunday when it will be on CBS at 1 o'clock. So a lot of day games. So, 2 p.m. on Tuesday, and then Wednesday is 5 p.m. And I believe it doesn't tell me if this is Eastern or Central. I'm assuming it's Eastern, but so.
I would love nothing better than to beat the St. Joseph team. That is one of the teams that really distinguished themselves as jackasses. And I would love, I'd really love to, it's like one of the teams I can remember that I did not like this year. I didn't like their fans. I didn't like that dirty hawk. And so I would love nothing better than to beat them.
Yes. So that's Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, I'm assuming. And so, And what a great year. Not the year that we had planned for, but we're learning a lot. We've got a lot of great content this year. And I'm still looking at our notes from previous episodes where I'm measuring the gain from this year, not measuring the gap. And so appreciate you, Dabber. And we'll look forward to this weekend. So we get five games in before our next episode on Sunday. So that could be a 5-hour episode.
Love it. Well, at least one more episode of the Two Ramblers, but as we found out last year, we got to make some bonus episodes, so who knows?
Yes.
All right, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Well, thanks for listening to the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, number one in the A-10. For the analyst with the attention to detail, Sammy D, I'm the host with the jokes, Dabber, saying, until next time, I don't know what I'm going to say. Sam, why don't you finish us off? What?
Get a burner for your burner, and go Ramblers!
Yeah, go Ramblers. Beat the Hawks. Send that
dirty chicken to the...
Yeah.
Fryer.
I want some chicken for lunch on Tuesday.
Raising Cane's sponsors our next episode.